The Flaming Lips seem likely to be just another 90s one-hit wonder. An alternative rock band from Oklahoma, they toured for a decade before finally hitting it big in 1993 with their song, She Don't Use Jelly.
She don't use jelly.
It was an ironic grunge anthem, and it got them a cameo on Beverly Hills 90210.
Hey, is that the Flaming Lips?
Well, it's not Michael Bolton.
That's for sure.
You guys seen Donna around?
No, she's recovering from her wounds.
But the Flaming Lips didn't go all Hollywood or fade away. Instead, they put aside their guitars and started experimenting with tape loops and synthesizers, including, memorably, on their ninth album called The Soft Bulletin. Wayne Coyne is the founding mastermind of the Flaming Lips, and he says the Soft Bulletin came about as a result of the group's virtuoso guitarist leaving the band.
It was. Well, when he left, me and Steven, the other writer in the group with me, we almost decided, let's just not worry about guitars for a while, and we went in this other way. But we also thought it would isolate this small audience that we had and make them think, well, you guys, you know, now you suck. And so maybe we
the
realized
indie curse.
This. Well, right, that this, you know, if you're going to turn your back on us, yeah, go ahead and make your boring, you know, symphonic music or yeah, whatever. But I would also say part of us was working in the idea that this could be our last record that we make.
Well, it's always good, isn't it, in any creative endeavor to make each one as though it could be the last, yeah?
I don't think people realize the power of that because, you know, you really are doing it and you can say, you know, I don't care what people think because we're doing this as our own statement. But if you're like us, that lasts for about 5 seconds and then yeah, you go, oh, my God, what's going to happen to us?
Well, and then you made another record. Then I think your next record, which was Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, came out and people liked it. Critics liked it. It sold pretty well. And I want to play a little bit of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's Do You Realize? And I'm told that album, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, is in development to become a Broadway musical to increase your Renaissance man accomplishments even more.
Now that you say it, you're right. But and again, you know, you playing that particular track, and these are hokey things to say. We've been given this great little gift that people love. I mean, people just love this song. But we did not consider it as being anything other than just another song. And it's this epic, beautiful statement. And every night we play it, it's the last song we play at the end of the night. And people cry and people are just overwhelmed sometimes with a happiness and a satisfaction and a joy.
And that song that came out of what? What was the inspiration for writing such a thing?
You know, I have to say, for me, sometimes I'm literally sitting there in front of a microphone with my I still use a four-track cassette recorder from the early 90s. And I'll just, you just simply strum a couple of chords and you'll sing something. And you go, oh, that was kind of cool. And I remember singing the line. There's a line that says, do you realize happiness makes you cry? And do you realize that everyone you know someday will die? And it seemed to me, something that I observed as you get older or that you have these experiences.
That everyone you know someday will die.
And when I played that part of the demo for Steven, like I said, the other co-writer in the group, he was like, oh, that's just a perfect Wayneism. No one else but you would sing that in a song and make it seem so right and so genuine and so innocent. And I was like, oh, okay. And it becomes this signature line that is sort of sums up this existential joy that the Flaming Lips, I think now, in some, you know, to some people represent. I think there's a mystery as to how do you know the things you know? And I say, I don't really know, but I'll sing you a song.
Well, and that song, Do You Realize, is in fact the official state rock song of Oklahoma. And you're not just a guy who grew up there and now lives in Brentwood. You're still an Oklahoman and have been.
Well, yeah. And again, you know, none of that ever occurred to us to be that big of a deal. This music came from Oklahoma. How bizarre, you know, as if it came from outer space or something.
Right.
And I think, you know, I've said it before, it's kind of like Santa Claus coming from the North Pole or the Beatles coming from Liverpool. When you can come from a place,
right,
and it evokes something. I mean, that's right, really how innocent we were. It never occurred to us that we should move to a Los Angeles or a New York or something.
Well, similarly, I've read that you worked as a cook at Long John Silver's for years after you started the band, right? I mean, you would go out and tour and then go back and fry fish sticks?
Well, I don't want you to paint this that as we are so successful as a band that I would sacrifice my time as an artist to go back there and cook. I mean, we didn't make very much money. We would tour around like a lot of groups did back then. You would just simply go out and play.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you'd make money. Sometimes you wouldn't. And I was lucky that, I mean, I started working, I'm not sure everybody knows what a Long John Silver's is. It's a fried fish place,
yes,
you know. But it is wonderful, and I still eat it once a year. We sort of restrict ourselves. But yeah, I started to work there when I was 16. And I have to say, I really loved it. But that's easy for me to say because now I'm in a successful—
You're not doing it now. Yeah.
But I, some of those things that happened to you there, and I would say that I was robbed at gunpoint, laid on the floor with a gun to our heads because we were robbed late one night, thinking that here I was. I was going to be just a statistic that you read in the paper the next day, that I was, you know, that we were killed during a robbery at this fast food restaurant. And those things, I, you know, the robbers, you know, eventually they left without killing us, obviously. But we laid on the floor for a little while in just this silence and going, you know, they're going to come back.
Right.
But we all sort of got up together. It was myself and there were three other gals. And we all sort of looked at each other. And to me, it occurred to me for the first time that I was actually alive. I'd never thought in my whole life that I'm alive, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say how profound it was.
And then it freed you to become a rock star. your newest album, which is Embryonic, came out a couple years ago, seems like Flaming Lips 3.0, that you're going beyond the old symphonic sweep. And I hear a little more pessimism in some of the lyrics than we've been used to. Like, I want to play a little bit of See the Leaves about...
Excellent, yeah.
...where we're going environmentally.
See the leaves, they're dying again. See the love, it's fine again. See the grass, it's dying again. See the sun, It's trying again.
That is Flaming Lips' See the Leaves, which is exactly the kind of song that at 22 or 24 I would have played loud and again and again and again. And there you are making it you're almost as old as I am. Did you feel like you were swerving in terms of the sensibility you wanted to portray on that record?
Well, even though, you know, some of these previous songs, The Race for the Prize and the Do You Realize, even though we knew that we created those and those, you know, took a certain mindset or whatever, we never really left any of that other stuff behind. And especially in that song, See the Leaves, I think we're hinting at this thing that is nature. It is the greatest thing. It's the only thing, but it's also the most powerful and horrible thing that we have. I saw a nature type film on some cable channel, and a group of hungry lions attacked a water buffalo, and they were actually eating his back legs, and this water buffalo was still alive. And this idea that somehow, oh, nature just takes care of you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. And so I thought, that's not the only truth there. And sometimes I'd say, you know, the things we said back then, I was wrong. You know, now we say this. I mean, you're allowed to just say the truth as it occurs to you at that time. I think that's what art is.
You know? Well, and speaking of saying the truth as it occurs to you, you seem like such an incredibly pleasant, nice guy. and yet, over the last couple of years, I've seen you make all kinds of trouble for yourself by slagging bands you've played with, like Arcade Fire and Beck. And is that just because you're a guy who doesn't edit yourself and just tells the truth?
Well, again, I'd say it's the truth as it happened to me, but, I mean, the Arcade Fire has a billion great things said about them every day.
Right.
Everybody thinks they're the greatest thing in the world, and I actually like some of their music quite a bit. And I bet I'm the only person that said anything other than they're the greatest thing ever. I don't really remember what I said. I'm sure it was something like, I think they're a bunch of p***s or whatever. You know, I don't really know.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you know. And in my experience, they were. I mean, I won't explain the whole story because it's long, but we were at a festival, and the Arcade Fire walked in. Everybody had to clear out of their dressing rooms. They locked off the stage. Everything was treated as if the Arcade Fire are now Guns N' Roses, and you're not allowed in here because they're rock stars, and you're just insignificant.
How un-Canadian of them, too.
Well, I thought so, and I really didn't really even care about it anymore. To me, it had become sort of exaggerated and funny. And so I would say maybe they've changed, and none of that is true now that was perhaps true then. And I would just leave it at that. And if I saw them again today, I could say, let's try again and see where we are now.
Yeah. So who else do you think is a jerk? We can start a new feud today.
I think we lose too much by being too cautious. The risk of saying something that we can't take back, so what? Who cares? I mean, this is music. It's art.
It's rock and roll.
We're supposed to have opinions. We're supposed to be weirdos. Yeah.
Wayne Coyne, it's been a complete pleasure, and I'm going to thank you very much.
Yeah, and like I said, I love your show. So thank you for having me on.
Wayne Coyne's the leader of the Flaming Lips. They're on tour this summer in the U.S. and Europe. Later this year in San Diego, a musical opens based on their album, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. If you want to hear more of my conversation with Wayne, go to Studio360.org.